Welcome to the Neighborhood Church Misawa Sermon Podcast. NCM is a multicultural church serving the English-speaking community in Misawa. For more information or to contact us, visit us online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.
We are in our Empowered series, and I want to kind of recap what empowerment is and why God wants us to be empowered. Empowered is defined by the Webster Dictionary as to give official authority or power. Jesus desires to give you official authority and power to do what he's called you to do. And what is it that he's called you to do? Luke, the author of Acts, gave the words of Jesus in Acts chapter 1. Verse 8, and Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so the authority and the power that he desires to give you is to equip you to be able to share the gospel, equip you to be able to share the truth with those around you, to not only live for Jesus, but then share why and who you live for. And so he does that through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be able to teach others to follow him. But in order to do that, as I just said, in order to accomplish that, we need the Holy Spirit. Guys, you cannot do this on your own. You cannot do this on your own. I cannot do this on my own. I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus spoke to the disciples, he said, "Listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and share the gospel. I want you to tell everyone in all nations and all people groups and all languages, tell them who I am, teach them salvation, teach them to follow me, baptize them, disciple them. But before you do that, I need you to go and wait in Jerusalem because you're going to need this power." And so the disciples did. They went to Jerusalem and they waited. And it was on that day, what we know as the day of Pentecost, where they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in tongues as the initial evidence. But after that, man, it was like a firebolt that just began to explode out of them as they were used for God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And those same words of encouragement to us is to share the gospel, but to be empowered to share the gospel. Those same words that were spoken to the disciples are for you and I today, because we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Imagine if you, I know that Todd and Jared do a lot of lawn mowing, and it's his favorite thing to do. And so, you know, imagine if you were being sent out to a 10-acre field, and they said, "Okay, I need you to mow the yard, mow the lawn, the acres, whatever you want to call it." At 10 acres, you don't call it a lawn anymore. I don't know what you call it. A lot of amazing grass. Yes, pasture. Thank you. See? Needed help. And so if you were told to go out and do it and the owner came to you and said, "Listen, here's what I have for you. I have a tractor and it's got the mow attachment. And so it's going to make this a really quick job for you to be able to do it." And you're like, "No, it's all good. I have scissors." They would look at you like, "Why? Why would you try and mow 10 acres with scissors? It doesn't make sense. Why would you do that when I have the tractor, I have the equipment here for you? Why would you choose to do scissor style and do this on your own? You're going to get tired. You're going to exhausted. You're going to give up. You're not going to want to finish it up." No. And it's the same thing with Jesus. He says, "Listen, I have a task for you. I've called you to share the gospel. Don't go out there with your scissors trying to do it on your own, but be empowered. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit." Now, the Holy Spirit is not a tool like a tractor, but he is a person who empowers us and fills us and equips us with the tools that we need to be able to do the things that Jesus has called us to do. And so the Holy Spirit empowers us, as we've looked at it during this series, the Holy Spirit empowers us to boldness. The Holy Spirit empowers us to discipleship. The Holy Spirit empowers us to heal. The Holy Spirit empowers us to speak and to endure. But what about, how does the Holy Spirit empower us to deliver? He wants to empower us to deliver. You know, last week we looked in Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas were going around and they came across this girl who suddenly would follow them, right? And as she followed them, she would scream out, "Look at these guys, they're from God, they're declaring the truth, they're showing you the way to be saved." But she was connected to demonic influences. She was demon possessed. And so Paul looked at her and said, "In the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, demon, you have to leave." And in that moment, she was free. She became free. She was delivered from the bondage and the possession of the demons at that moment. And then from there, Paul and Silas were imprisoned because it ruffled some feathers with what was happening in that city. But that's not the only story that we see in Scripture of the power of the Holy Spirit enabling believers to walk in the authority of Jesus and see people delivered. So let's look in Acts chapter 19, verse 11 through 20. Acts chapter 19. Verse 11 through 20. Scripture says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? The man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. We thank you, Father, for your word that is timeless, holds truth and authority. It is not just holds it, but it is truth and authority. And I pray, God, that you would speak to us this morning as we read your word and are encouraged by it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And so the Holy Spirit empowered the early believers to speak boldly, to heal, to deliver. And so we see it displayed in this account, right? And so here's Paul, who not only was he sharing the gospel, but because the church was younger, they could not support him as he traveled around. Often there would be believers who were wealthier and they would support, kind of like what we do now. We have supporters in the States. We have supporters even in Japan that support us, enable us to be here so that the burden is not placed upon the church. And so that's exactly what happened with Paul, is that he didn't want that burden to be on this new young church. And so he worked. He had a daytime job. He made tents. And it says that because he was working, he would have these sweat cloths. That's basically what it was, sweat cloths and work aprons that he would take off, and people would come and sneak in and they'd be like, oh, it's touched Paul, right? I'm going to take this. And they would take it back and touch the sick or touch the demon possessed, and they would find healing or they would find freedom. Now, it had nothing to do with the sweat. It had nothing to do with the cloth. It had nothing to do with the practice. But because Paul was so filled with the Holy Spirit, because Paul was being used by God, because God desired to display his power and his authority in this area, these people found freedom and healing. That's Siri talking to us? In Jesus' name. And so in that time, that's exactly what was happening. And out of that, or it's similar to when Peter and John were walking, and because they were so full of the Holy Spirit, it says that they would walk in their shadow as it crossed, went across someone, that they would find healing in that. And so it wasn't necessarily the person, it wasn't the person at all, right? It was the authority of Jesus and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit within the people that God was working through. But if you look at Ephesus, that's the city they're in at this time. Ephesus was a dark place spiritually, really dark place. It was home to one of the largest, if not the largest, temples that was dedicated to the goddess, lowercase g, Diana or Artemis. And this was what has been called the seat of Satan. This was not exactly a nice place. It wasn't a beautiful place to be spiritually. You know, if you try and understand what it must have been like, how difficult it was for these believers who were coming to know Jesus, all that the ones in Ephesus knew was worshiping this goddess Diana, worshiping at the temple Artemis. And not only that, so much of the practice of this worship involved spells and fortune telling and all of these different practices and trinkets. And so that's how they learned to live. That's all they knew until the Holy Spirit began moving through these new believers in Ephesus. And out of that, things began to shake up. But this was a very, very dark place. It was a demonic place. Satan had held authority there for so long. And we see that there were these traveling itinerant Jews that would go around and they would try and cast out demons, right? I'm sure it was a money-making business because that's typically what happened. And this humorous story, I think it is for us because we can look at it and go, good luck, you tried that on your own, right? And so they were trying to put this into practice. They saw the authority. They saw the power of these early believers. They saw Paul. They saw these early believers who were operating in the authority and power of Jesus. They saw that even the cloths that had touched Paul were now being taken to people and there was healings. There was authentic things happening. And these itinerant Jews, these traveling people would go around and like, well, I think maybe we should add that to our business model because that could work for us. And if it worked for them, it can work for us. And maybe that'll make us some more money. And so they would go around and in the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches, I think I've heard him use that name, you should leave, right? And there's seven sons of Sceva. So there's seven guys, right? And they were the sons of a Jewish priest. And here they are going around and they decided, we're going to try this. We're going to use the name of Jesus and see if this works for us. But Jesus's name is not a formula. It's not an add-on. It's not like, well, I think we'll just try this. The name of Jesus is held with authority, but it is only an authority for believers, right? It is significance. It has meaning for believers, but not just as an add-on for anyone who wants to try it out. And so they decided, let's gonna see if this works, right? In the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, get out. And the demon was like, you know, I've heard that Jesus, I know him. And I know who Paul is, but you, I don't know who y'all are. And the demon possessed this man so much that he jumped on them, beat all seven of them up. Apparently in the process, they lost their clothes. I mean, this was a beatdown, and they went running out humiliated. And it says that the atmosphere in Ephesus began to change. Fear fell on everyone as they began to realize the authority and the power of Jesus. And so we look at this story, if we have the Western mindset, as many of us do, and it seems foreign to us because the supernatural and the spirit world is often avoided. I mean, it's in entertainment, it's in movies, it's in TV shows, it's out everywhere, but it's avoided in the spirit world. It's avoided in the church because it's like, I don't know, it's kind of weird, kind of freaky, let's not go there. And oftentimes, we get the question of, why don't we see demonic activity like this in the West? Not that we want to, but why don't we see it? Why is it that we see it in Scripture? Why is it that we hear about it in these foreign countries? You know, if you've ever heard stories from missionaries in some of these third world countries, you begin to hear stories, and not just third world, even here in Japan, you begin to hear some of the stories of these demonic activities. And then you come across it in the States and we're like, well, why don't we hear about these stories happening in the States or in the West? But I've said this often for years, that it's not that there isn't demonic activity in the West. It's just the way that Satan operates is different in the West. You know, in countries like Japan, in countries like China or Iran or Sudan or Haiti, Satan has held authority for centuries. He's not been questioned. He's been given free rein. There is false worship, idols, false gods. It's his domain. It's where he rules and reigns. That's what Scripture says, that he is the prince of this world, not ultimate prince, but he has authority where he's been given it because there aren't Christians, there aren't believers, there aren't people bringing in the light. And so he's ruled for years. And because of that, he doesn't have to act in a covert way. He can be overt all he wants to because no one's going to challenge him. You know, this month is when Obon is celebrated here in Japan, and it's a very, very dark celebration. And typically, it would begin with parades and drums beating and dances and chants, where they ask their dead relatives to come from the grave and spend the week with them. And so there'll be different foods in the stores to offer to their family members. And they'll come and have meals together with their family members. And it's a little bit more subdued because of COVID. But often you will drive down the streets and you'll see a fire at the end of the driveway. You'll see lanterns hanging by the front door. And that's because it's supposed to help their dead find their way home as they come from the grave. And so, but for you and I, we know that that's not the dead coming from the grave. Scripture says to be absent from the body is either to be present with Jesus or forever separated. And so it's not the dead coming from the grave, but it's demonic activity. And so they are given a front door access into homes. And unfortunately, when all of that's over and Obon is finished and they're asked to go back to the graves, the demons don't say, well, that's great. Sure, I think I'll come back next year. No, demonic activity stays. You know, just even in the homes and buildings, as they're constructed, they're dedicated to Buddhist practices and rituals. There's dedications, even in the foundation of the buildings. Japan is a dark place, desperately, desperately in need of Jesus, desperate in need of freedom and transformation by the power of Jesus. But where we live, Satan doesn't have to hide. He doesn't have to hide. Now, if you were to take those same practices and move them to the States, for an example, because there is a Christian foundation, I know it's not very evident right now in our culture, but there is a Christian heritage, there is a Christian foundation. And so if he took those same practices and in an overt way came into the States, we'd be like, no, sir. We're not going to have any of that kind of stuff because that's demonic. We're not going to do that. So what does Satan do? Why does he would never go through the front door in the United States when he can go through the back door and sneak in and make himself at home. And so Satan operates differently. He operates through seduction in the States. He operates through, I like to say it as the justs. It's just whatever it may be, right? Oh, it's just one movie. It's just one show. It's just one drink. It's just a little pornography. At least I'm not having an affair. It's just whatever it may be. It's just, and here we are lulled in. It's just me trying to be happy with myself. It's just me. I just want to have a relationship with the same sex. It's just me trying to figure out, right? And so we're lulled into complacency and seduced by Satan. It's the same person, same demonic forces, but he comes in through it's the just. He comes through the back door. And so if we are not aware, if we are not empowered by the Holy Spirit, we will fall for it's the justs. We will fall for the influences of Satan. But yet that's not what Jesus wants. He desires to equip us. He desires for us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to not only live for him, but so that we can recognize the darkness, so we can recognize the tactics of the enemy, so we can recognize the scheme of Satan and not only resist it, but in the name of Jesus, push back against it. We don't have to give in. We don't have to give way. We don't have to bow down. Even here in Japan, where darkness has prevailed for years, we do not have to back down. We can be the light in the middle of the darkness. We can pray and seek God. We can intercede. We can do prayer walks. We can anoint things. You can anoint your home. You can pray for your coworkers. You can pray in the stores. You may not speak the same language, but you carry the power and the anointing and the authority of Jesus. And so where you go, you begin to influence an entire nation, an entire people group. And so, though it was a dark place in that time, he just works differently. He worked one way in Ephesus. He works one way in Japan. He works another way in Haiti. He works one way in the Philippines. He works one way in the United States. Same demonic influence. He just likes to change his tactics and how he seduces us and brings us in. And so we have to understand that the spiritual world is real. Now, we don't have to go and dig into the demonic side. Guys, don't go and investigate, study about demons, study about darkness. You don't need to do that. You didn't see Paul doing that. Well, here, let's look and let's research the goddess of Diana and let's research the spells that they're doing. No, he just commanded them in the name of Jesus. You're going to have to go. You're going to have to leave. You study the word of God. You study who Jesus is. And out of that, you'll know darkness when you see it. You don't have to study it. You don't have to research it. You will know. You will know not only your head and your heart, but I'm telling you, your gut will tell you real quick that there's darkness. And so you don't have to go into that, but you have to recognize that there is a spiritual world. But you don't have to be afraid of it either. God, guys, we don't have to be afraid or have fear of the supernatural or the spiritual, but it should cause us to seek after the Father all the more. It should cause us to seek him more and more and more. And so as we look at Paul and the seven sons of Sceva, what was the difference about them? Well, one is that Paul had salvation in Jesus. I mean, that's huge. That's the major thing, right? That's the major difference. Paul was a believer who walked with a relationship with Jesus and not just knew Jesus, prayed the prayer once, and then continued to do his own thing. No, he made the choice to follow after Jesus and then committed himself over and over and over and over again, committed himself to following after the Father. Not only that, but Paul spent time in prayer. If you look at how he talks about things when he was talking to the church in Corinth, he told them, listen, I pray in the Spirit more than all you. And I know that part of that's just Paul being Paul. He was just very much like flamboyant, kind of seems like a bigger than life kind of guy. But it gave you the example. He was trying to point out that, listen, I pray so much. I don't only just pray, I pray in the Spirit because I need the power of Jesus. I need the power of the Holy Spirit flowing in and through me. And so that was another major difference between the seven sons of Sceva who only wanted to use the name. Paul was walking in the authority of Jesus. He knew Jesus. He had a relationship with Jesus. And he spent time in prayer seeking after the Father. It's so important as believers, whether you live here in Japan, whether at some point you'll return to another place or you'll go to another location, another base or wherever it may be, it's so important that you learn that when you are confronted with evil, whether it's open or covertly, that you not only see how Satan works, but that you will need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You will need a personal relationship. You cannot draw from me. You can't draw from someone else. You can't draw from your spouse. You need a personal relationship with Jesus. You need to intimately interact with the Word of God for yourself. You need prayer and time with the Father for yourself so that you can be empowered. God wants to equip you so that you will be wise and discerning of demonic influences. And guys, I'm not trying to say that there's a demon behind everything, right? Something falls off. It's like, oh, it's not a demon. Right? Somebody cuts you off. Oh, it's demonic. No, it's not that. I'm not trying to say that there is a demon behind everything, but there is demonic influences. Don't be fooled either way. Don't go all the way this way and say there's no demons, or go all this way and say demons are everywhere and he's in control of everything. No, that's not how it works. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be equipped to understand, to discern. How did Paul know when he saw this girl who was going around screaming the truth that she was demon-possessed? It was the power and the authority of Jesus. Paul knew because the Holy Spirit had spoken that to him. And so while there isn't a demon behind everything, demonic activity is real. He wants to equip you to pray in the authority of Jesus, to see people transformed in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, he wants us to be able to see what is behind things, right? We could look at Japan or the Japanese people. We could look at the culture that we live in the States. Guys, it's craziness. And we could look at that and we could start blaming the people. We could start blaming, they're just crazy. They're nuts. I don't understand. They're the evil people, right? But that's not what scripture says. Our struggle is not with them. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, Paul wrote back to the church in Ephesus. So Paul is in Ephesus at this time when we're reading in Acts. And later when he left, he wrote a letter back to the church in Ephesus. And it makes more sense when you understand the culture and what was going on in Ephesus and the demonic strongholds and the influences that were going on there. It makes even more sense when you read this in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against humans. It's not against people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our struggle is not with people who don't know Jesus. Our struggle is not with people who are pushing, no matter how crazy or far left or whatever it may be. Our struggle is not in them. It is a spiritual battle. And if it is a spiritual battle, we need to go at it in a spiritual manner, not with scissors, right? We're not going to get anywhere if we do that. But if we go at it in a spiritual manner through the power of the Holy Spirit, equipped to not only see the truth and call it for what it is, equipped to be able to speak the truth in the midst of the darkness when the evil forces are coming against us, instead of running in fear or backing away, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be able to speak the truth of the gospel, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be able to lay hands on people and see them healed, see them set free. Watch people walk away from their old ties, because that's exactly what happened in this time, that the power of the Holy Spirit was moving so much that this entire group of people, so many people in Ephesus, began to bring their trinkets, their books that had all of the spells, had all the incantations, had all the formulas and the tricks of how they used to live. They began to bring it in, and they had this huge book burning ceremony, right? And so we look at this and 50,000 drachmas, and it's meaningless. I don't know, it's meaningless to me. 50,000 drachmas, that's great. I don't know. But if you look at it and you begin to translate it to today's value, it would be about books that are worth about $5 million that were brought in. That's an expensive book burning ceremony. But you see, it's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Something was much different that happened here than in Acts 16. Because when that girl was set free, Paul and Silas were thrown in jail because the money was attached to the people and they didn't want to let go. But here, the power of the Holy Spirit began to set people free so much that they were willing to not only let it go, they were throwing it in the fire. I don't want it. I don't want to be tied to my old life. I don't want any more of that. I don't want to be tied to what it was. I don't want to be tied to the things that kept me bound. I am throwing it in the fire because I want to choose to follow after Jesus. That's the transformation that happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't care who it is. Maybe you know someone and you're like looking at them going, there's no way they're ever going to find freedom. They are so stuck in whatever it is. Whatever it is that the enemy has so seduced them into the justs. They're never going to find freedom. They're never going to be able to walk out. We look at this and there were people who were trapped in bondage, who were demonic possessed, and Jesus brought freedom to their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. So don't doubt it for yourself. Don't doubt it for others. Don't doubt it as you're driving through Japan and you see the darkness. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it as you go back into the States and you are confronted with the darkness that we see. Don't doubt the power of the Holy Spirit and what God desires to not only do in you, but what he desires to do through you.
Thank you for listening to the Neighborhood Misawa's Sermon Podcast. If you need prayer, email us at neighborhoodmisawa@gmail.com or online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.